you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Richard Mack is an author, speaker, former Arizona sheriff, and one of the most well-known and respected sheriffs our country has ever had. He is the author of numerous books, including his newest one, The Magic of Gun Control. Sheriff Mack is the primary force behind the organization Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He has been actively working in defense of the Bundy Ranch from overreaching bureaucrats from the Bureau of Land Management in what is rapidly becoming a potential spark for a citizens' revolution. Sheriff Richard Mack, welcome to the Voice of Freedom. Richard, how are you?
Well, thanks, Brent. It's good to be back with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You have said that you would be willing to die in defense of the Bundy Ranch. Why would you say such a thing?
Well, I'm not really that big of a fan of cattle, and I don't intend to die for cattle, and I don't really care about the land that is out there. It's just kind of a bunch of desert land that I grew up with as a boy in Arizona. When I grew up, I used to walk out in the desert all the time and hunt for lizards and horny toads, but there's a lot more involved here. First of all, I've known Clive Bundy for about 20 years. He's been at other speaking events and freedom rallies where I have appeared, talking about land rights and the research that he had done because the battle waged against him of his own federal government trying to ruin his ranch and destroy his career. Does the principle pursuit of happiness and individual liberty mean anything in our society today? Does the pursuit of happiness supersede the federal government's authority to extract grazing fees? Where do grazing fees even come from? And would grazing fees be about the same as breathing fees and walking around fees and living fees? And why is our own federal government trying to destroy the ranching industry? The Bundy family is the last rancher surviving out of 53 that used to be prosperous ranches in the Clark County area. They've had a thriving cattle industry there for over a century. And all of them have been put out of business by our own federal government. I thought the president said that he was pro-industry, pro-jobs, pro-farming, pro-veteran, pro-freedom and liberty. So what are they doing? The Bush administration did this, and the Obama administration is really accelerating it. Right there in front of our faces, they've destroyed the logging industry. They're putting farmers out of business. They've turned off the water in the Klamath Falls Basin, some of the most fertile farming soil in the world. They turned off the water to the Napa Valley in California, where we get 50% of the nation's fruit, vegetables, and nuts. They've put so many ranchers out of business by all these capricious and whimsical regulations and policies and fees and taxes. Go look at the food costs in your local grocery store. See how much you're paying for beef now. It's tripled in the last 2 years. A lot of the fruits and vegetables, same thing. And you can go right to your own federal government, and you'll find out why. Is liberty at play here? And if it is, that's why I would be willing to die, take my son with me. We fully expected to be in the middle of a bunch of shooting. I did not go prepared to defend myself. I had my Sig Sauer 40 caliber duty weapon that I used to carry when I was a sheriff. I did not have a high-powered rifle. Most people did not. Most people were not even armed. But I was fully expecting that there would be bloodshed.
Well, I appreciate your stance on being willing to die for this, and I certainly hope that it does not come to that because we can use you around for a few more years.
I want to stay. I have some grandkids on the way that I want to see, but this is the thing. I have taken an oath, and the oath that I have taken is that I mutually pledge, along with the Founding Fathers, my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor to preserve the God-given liberties of all Americans. When we were on the freeway getting close to the Bundy Ranch, one of our CSPOA members, a 15-year law enforcement veteran who was up on the front line of this whole thing, going to free the cattle out of the makeshift BLM corral, he said, "Sheriff, they're going to kill us." He said, "There's about 150 of us, and we're walking up to their corral where they have all sorts of military weaponry pointed right at our heads. They've warned us that they're going to arrest us." And he says, "Now that we kept coming, they said that they're going to kill us. They told us that we will be shot if we don't stand down." And we told them we're not standing down. We just kept coming. And he said, would you just please tell my wife that I love her? And that was the last thing he said. And so we were stuck on the freeway, and I said, we have got to get there. We saw Highway Patrol responding code 3, that's lights and sirens. And the Highway Patrol had never been involved in this incident. And I thought, uh-oh, shots have been fired, and so the Highway Patrol is responding as an emergency. Because lights and siren mean something's gone awry. So we turned on our emergency flashers in my truck, and I took off around the two lanes of stuck traffic on I-15, and we went to the right side on the shoulder, code 3, to the scene. And we got in there where the cattle were, and everything had calmed down. No shots had been fired, and nobody could really explain why. And after we watched the cattle be released, this was the moment that you and I have prayed for the last 20, 25 years of being involved in this movement for freedom. We stood there and watched these cows being liberated with tears running down our cheeks, as if watching the foundation of a new America as the BLM left and these cows were returned home. And I'm telling you, it was absolutely the most spiritual, solemn, sacred, reverent, patriotic moment I've ever been a part of, ever. Everybody was hugging each other. You could have heard a pin drop on the desert sand. 600, 700 people there, and no one made a peep. Not the kids, not the babies, not any of us. You could have heard a pin drop, and it was so solemn and sacred.
That's a beautiful image. Thank you for that. Cliven Bundy and his family have worked this land in southern Nevada for over 135 years. The Bureau of Land Management, under federal authority, has determined that Clive Bundy owes hundreds of thousands of dollars in unpaid grazing fees and has used this as a justification to take his cattle, threaten his family, and establish a modern American revolutionary siege. Now, Judge Andrew Napolitano recently said that the Bureau of Land Management has the law on its side because the question of whether Cliven Bundy owes for grazing rights has been adjudicated on behalf of the BLM. How do you respond to that analysis?
Well, technically, he is correct. But Judge Napolitano needs to go back and first decide, is there any court precedent that disagrees with this? Is there any constitutional provision that allows the BLM to own the land? And Judge Napolitano said that also on the same program, or the next day, I can't remember which. But I've been watching Fox on this, and my hat's off to Sean Hannity. He's done a terrific job on this. However, when he had the judge on there, the judge said, constitutionally, the BLM is allowed to own no land, and the government is allowed to own none of this land. Yes, Bundy has lost in court. But there's a court precedent on the exact same issue involving the Wayne Hage family. They won in court. And in fact, District Court Judge Jones, he reprimanded the BLM and the Forest Service, said that they had committed the crime of conspiracy, turned that over to the Justice Department for investigation, fined them $30,000 that they were to pay the Hage family, and they never paid a dime. The federal government doesn't go along with court orders. Why are they trying to pretend that this is just the Bundys that don't go along with court orders? Because if you look at the Hage case, this judge said it shocks the conscience of this court what the federal government has done to this family, that they tried to remove them. And only a good constitutional sheriff by the name of Tony DeMeo stopped this from being a total farce and fiasco and thievery when he went out there in person and said, you're not taking anybody's cattle, not as long as I'm sheriff here. And they said, well, we're going to come back with our SWAT team. And he said, bring them. I've got one, too. Google the Wayne Hage case. You'll see what Judge Jones said. So this has already been settled in court. The water rights and the grazing rights here supersede anything else. Our right to the pursuit of happiness and to run this ranch supersedes anything else. And the corruption and the criminal activity of the BLM and the Forest Service has already been well documented in court. Why would anybody allow these guys to continue to do this? But that's how our federal government works. If the IRS commits crimes, they're given bonuses. If the BLM commits crimes, too bad. Keep doing what you're doing. Nobody's going to investigate. Nobody's going to get in trouble.
Well, that raises the question, why is it, if the precedent exists, that the district judge disregarded the precedent?
Well, because that happens all the time. Have the states and the federal government obeyed the Supreme Court case that I won? You already know the answer to that. They haven't. Not at all. The states don't obey it. The sheriffs don't enforce it. the federal government and the United States Congress violate my Supreme Court decision on a daily basis. Anybody can get a copy of that case at my website, or you can Google the case and you'll see exactly what I mean. I spend all that time and money, lose everything I ever owned, lose my job and career to fight for this, and then nobody pays any attention to it afterwards. Now they are.
I understand that the administrative agencies tend to disregard the court rulings, but ordinarily, don't the judges, when they are making rulings, specifically look to the precedents?
Yeah, you would think so, and the Bundys may not have pointed out that as strongly as they could have or should have in court, but there's another problem with this whole thing. In all of these court hearings, have the Bundys ever been allowed a jury trial or a jury hearing? No. It's always been handled administratively and by judges who work for the federal government that pay their salaries and give them bonuses and nominate them for promotions to the U.S. Supreme Court and other circuit courts. It's not a fair process. It's not impartial.
In other words, it's a conflict of interest. One thing Judge Napolitano failed to mention was the principle of grandfathered rights. Now, the Bundy family has worked this land since 1877. Doesn't that exempt them from federal administrative regulations?
Well, what in the Constitution guarantees grandfathered rights? It's called ex post facto laws. And ex post facto laws are illegal in this country. You can't make a law after the fact that somebody was doing beforehand lawfully. You can't go up to them and say, well, now we're going to arrest you because we made that against the law now. So the grandfather clause is not necessarily in the Constitution, but the ex post facto rule would say it does. And so, yes, the regulations and the policies of the BLM do not supersede that law. They do not supersede his rights, and they do not nullify ex post facto prohibitions. The Bundy family I have met, I was in their home, I had a long conversation with Mr. Bundy. I've always called him Clive. I've never called him Clive, and I don't know why. I just thought it was Clive. And like I said, I've known him a long time. These are the best people I've ever met in my life. I've never met a more prayerful, dedicated, loyal, law-abiding, peaceful, together family in my life. They have 14 kids. Their sons-in-law and their daughters-in-law all support them, love each other, support the family, and support Mr. and Mrs. Bundy. This is a united effort to be left alone. That's all they want, is to be left alone.
The BLM is specifically denied by law the right to exercise enforcement of its regulations in a state. They are supposed to turn over enforcement to local authorities. Yet, they have killed Bundy's cattle. How is the BLM justifying this apparent breach of federal law?
Well, they're not addressing it at all, and the Bundys are going to file a complaint with the sheriff about the slaughter of their cattle. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of that. They're just horrendous looking. But I want to ask the American people, why are you putting up with that? Why aren't you going there and seeing this for yourself? There's been a dozen to 15 cattle, and they can't find another 130 or so. And the BLM killed them and then buried them. And now they're uncovering these graves. They're also showing some places where the desert tortoise had been killed out there as well. And so it's almost like the deranged lover who kills his girlfriend or wife and says, well, if I can't have you, nobody can. That's really what it looked like from the BLM side. Well, if we can't keep the cattle from you, then we're sure going to not let you have them. So they started killing them.
You said that the Bundys are filing an action with the sheriff. What is the local sheriff's position with respect to what's happening at the Bundy Ranch?
Brent, can I tell you just plain and simply, he's not a constitutional sheriff. We've tried to get him to attend our conferences that we've held right there in his backyard in Vegas. The CSPOA, as you know, is dedicated to creating constitutional sheriffs all across this country. We do training. We show the truth. Now this is a new training for us to use about what you shouldn't do. He kept making all these excuses as to how he didn't have the authority to interfere, to intervene, to interpose. In other words, he's telling his constituents, I don't have the authority to keep my oath of office. I don't have the authority to keep the peace. He doesn't have the authority to protect and serve, to make sure nobody gets killed? He doesn't have the authority to prevent a Waco or a Ruby Ridge situation? Come on, what is your job? He sits there and has a PR guy answer the phone calls, and anybody that wanted to get him involved, he would just tell him to call BLM.
But you must have had conversations with him. What is the local sheriff's name?
Doug Gillespie, and I've never talked to him. He refuses to return any of my calls.
Oh, so you have not spoken directly with him?
I've never met him, and I've never talked to him. The times that I called to invite him to our conferences, I always got his secretary or somebody else, and I would leave my name and number, and I left the invitation, and we've emailed him, and we've mailed him, and no response, nothing.
What about the state police? What about the governor, the National Guard? Have any of the state officials taken a stand on this?
Well, the governor issued a scathing complaint against the tactics of the BLM, said that he was horrified about them establishing a corral where people could have freedom of speech. And that's the truth. They made a little makeshift fence and said, this area is where you can have freedom of speech, and if you don't do it in there, you'll go to jail. And so the governor was assailing the BLM over that and the slamming of the woman on the pavement and the tasing of Ammon Bundy. So he issued that statement and then did nothing about it. He admitted that the BLM was violating the Constitution in his state. He could have called out the National Guard. He could have called out the Highway Patrol and said, go get those guys out of there. The sheriff and the governor could have done that together, and it would have been extremely effective for both of them and probably politically advantageous for both of them. You know what? When you complain and do nothing, you prove your cowardice.
You say they could have done this. Is it possible that at some point that the governor will take more of an active stance on behalf of Nevada land and the Bundy Ranch?
Well, I can only judge the future by the past. And if you judge it by the past, he's a do-nothing whiner. And the sheriff's even worse. The sheriff never assailed anybody, never criticized anybody, just said, I'm not in charge, I don't have any authority to get involved, and if you need to complain, call your congressman or call the BLM. And he just washed his hands of it. He was Pontius Pilate the whole way.
What about state legislative authorities? What about the assemblymen and the state senators?
The only one that showed up was Michelle Fiore from the Nevada Assembly. And she's been really criticizing Harry Reid and his son's involvement with the Chinese project with solar energy near the Bundy Ranch. Why is the ranching industry being shut down and this land opened up? Because they have other things in store for it, and Harry Reid and his son are all over it.
I watched the video in which the BLM goons tasered people, threw a middle-aged woman to the ground, and generally terrorized the people guarding the rights of Cliven Bundy and his family. What is the current attitude of the people standing vigil at the Bundy Ranch in the face of what happened?
Well, we're just trying to be careful. We're trying to make sure that there's plenty of people there so that if something does happen, we're able to shed the light on it just like we did the first round. Do we trust the federal government? No, we don't. We're not that dumb. So we're keeping people there, and we still need donations and help, and you can make any donation you want at cspoa.org. We've already hand-delivered over $5,000 to the Bundys. We've already paid for about $7,500 of food to be shipped there. We've paid for the travel expenses of a few sheriffs from back east to come there and meet the Bundys and offer assistance and support. We're paying for gas money for others. So we're doing everything we can to provide support for this operation. If we're going to keep boots on the ground and keep the Bundys as safe as we can, then we've got to keep people there, and this might be going on for a few months, maybe longer.
Did the people who were assaulted in that recent interaction with the BLM, did they just kind of say, oh, I can't do this and pack up and leave, and others came in? Or was there a resurgence of determination to stay there and defend? I mean, were people demoralized by this treatment by the BLM?
No, not at all. It increased their resolve and it increased ours. When we saw that, that's when we decided. Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers and myself from CSPOA put out a press release backed up with Matt Shea, a state rep from Washington State. We issued that throughout the country. We told people, get out there, we need your help, and the more the merrier. I really believe that the hundreds of people that did show up took the federal government by surprise. They didn't expect it. I don't think they knew quite how to handle it, and I think it had a definite hand in bringing about a peaceful solution, at least to this point.
The Oklahoma militia, with 50,000 volunteer members, has publicly stated its support for and willingness to defend Cliven Bundy, his family, and his property. The Illinois militia has sent men to Nevada to stand against the feds. Which other militia groups are actively involved in this standoff, and how many people are we talking about this defense growing into?
I know the South Carolina militia came, Georgia, some from Texas, some came up from Arizona. And we don't know all of them. We weren't able to do an inventory of all of them. Coming and going, I believe that there's been over 2,000 people there, but everybody hasn't been able to stay the whole time, and so it just keeps rotating in and out. Stuart Rhodes is trying to get the Oath Keepers to keep track of that a little bit better. He was there for a while. I was there for a while. And we had other people from Oath Keepers and CSPOA that were there before us. And at no time did we ever say, be ready to shoot, come with your AR-15s and every high-powered rifle you can get your hands on. That was never the case. All of this was there in a defensive and supportive posture for the Bundys. We just wanted to be there in case anything happened. We wanted the federal government to see that we were there and that we were not leaving and we did not trust them. And if there was going to be shooting, it would be because they started it.
They may start it, but I suspect we would finish it. My understanding is that many of the militia groups have started to have rotating defensive positions where they're actually having people positioned in places with firearms to act in defense if the shooting does start. Do you know anything about this?
I don't. I've heard that some of that was talked about, but it was just kind of some speculation, and I don't know that. I have seen some of the militia security people. I've seen some of the defensive positions they did take, and there were some that I wasn't privy to. They kind of did that on their own, and God bless them.
Now we come to the $64,000 question. How do you believe this siege will end? Are we looking at a massacre like happened in Waco, Texas in 1993? Are we looking at a shot heard round the world sparking a second American Revolution? What do you think is going to happen here?
A lot of us are feeling a lot more positive about it, that this is kind of being a rallying cry for liberty all across the country, that we've proved to the country that we do have we the people taking charge when the federal government acts in a criminal manner. I've talked to the Bundys. I've talked to the Wayne Hage family. I've talked to leaders around the country. And every one of us are starting to feel much more positive about this, that this is going to lead to a new cold revolution that will bring about change, not because Washington, D.C. is going to change, but because the states and the sheriffs are going to take a stronger stand to prevent this sort of thing from happening in their counties and in their states. I really believe that's happening. I believe it's happening right now. I've had calls and emails from sheriffs that I've never met, who said they're proud of what we're doing there. They feel good about watching and said, thank you for your leadership and your involvement there. And I think the overall message, to answer your question specifically, is that this incident with the Bundy family and Bunkerville siege is going to start a rebirth of freedom in this country.
You mentioned how the states are taking greater involvement, greater activity on this. There are reports of summit meetings of high-up state legislators, Idaho, Montana, Colorado, of course, Nevada, Utah, legislators coming together to figure out how to take back their land from control by the federal government through the Bureau of Land Management. Can you comment on the status of any of those meetings or any of those efforts?
That's probably outside my purview. I hope there's some successful dialogue there. But as far as the federal government goes, I don't trust any of them. I don't believe that they're going to try to change anything. It's going to be us changing them. It's going to be the sheriffs changing their behavior and their relationship with these guys, just as three sheriffs did in 2003. Sheriff Penrod from California, Sheriff Amon from Idaho, and Sheriff Jones from Nevada. Back in 2003, this very same thing happened. These three sheriffs kicked the BLM out and told them to leave their people alone and leave their counties. We can change this, and it's going to be how we take back America, and what I've said on your programs before, Brent, and you know I've said this. We can take America back, one sheriff at a time, county by county, and state by state.
You indicated recently that excellent sources that you had said that a SWAT team raid of the Bundy Ranch was imminent. What's the latest on that?
Well, the latest is that because I went public with that, because we had seen reports that the BLM had backed off from the Bundy Ranch, but they were still at hotels in Mesquite, Nevada, and in Las Vegas. And we also had other intel from two government officials, one from Nevada and one from the federal government, that said that they were just pulling back, just as you alluded to earlier, to allow us time to drop our defenses, get out of the way, so they could come in and go directly to, not the cattle this time, but to the Bundys on a midnight-style raid. So we believe that our involvement there had a hand in stopping that. We believe that because we have been so vigilant and knowledgeable that we've put a damper in their plans.
Hopefully you are correct. However, I'm also of the belief that if they wait long enough and people drop their guard and start to think, I guess we scared them off, now let's all go home, that's when they would come in.
Yeah, exactly. We're not dumb and we're not cowards and we're not leaving.
And that's what our founders meant when they said the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. We can't let up. I'm sure there are people out there who would love to come out to the Bundy Ranch or do something whether it's contributing money or do something to support the stand being made by the Bundys and their supporters. How do people get involved?
We're getting emails and letters and phone calls about that every day. How can I donate? I can't come. So they donate over the phone, or they're sending in checks or cash. Somebody sent in a couple of pieces of silver the other day. One person actually sent in a piece of gold. We're thrilled with all of that. And I've told every one of them, go there and meet the Bundys. You'll be thrilled meeting these wonderful people. So if you can't go, do something.
If people can go, is anybody welcome? Is there a protocol? They have to contact somebody and say they're coming, or can people just show up and say, I'm here to stand with you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's happening all the time. You're going to have some security guards kind of vet you, and you won't be given free range to the Bundy home, but they'll put you to work. They'll let you help. We've had sheriffs just go out there to meet with the Bundys. Sheriff Rogers from Indiana went out for the barbecue last Friday. Sheriff Hyman from Kentucky is going out tomorrow, and then this weekend, Sheriff Christopher is going from Delaware. Go find out so when you go back to your areas, you can tell people the truth about this and that you will not allow this to occur in your county. That's really what we want. Go find out, see for yourself, see and feel the spirit of freedom that exists at this ranch and this home and with this family.
By the way, when is the election for sheriff? When is Gillespie up for re-election?
Gillespie's finished. He's announced his retirement, and we've already been in touch with a couple of the good candidates that are running in his open seat now.
When is that? When is that election?
The primary is coming up in about a month, and then the general election for a new sheriff of Clark County will be in November.
And if this is still going on, conceivably the new office holder could take an immediate stand on the Bundy Ranch situation.
Absolutely, and at least one or two have indicated that they're going to do exactly that.
Your newest book, The Magic of Gun Control, how's that coming along?
Well, the book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, is still outselling that one. People are more concerned about the solution than they are more evidence of the problem. Even though I do talk about the solution that I talk about in The Magic of Gun Control is mostly within the 50-page book called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And indeed, that book has looked more prophetic during this whole situation.
Sheriff Richard Mack has been my guest to discuss the ongoing siege by the Federal Bureau of Land Management at the Cliven Bundy Ranch in Bunkermeister, Nevada. Richard, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. I am so gratified to know that you are directly involved with this. If you'd like to get involved, folks, if you want to know more about what Richard's doing, what the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is doing to help restore freedom to our country, and specifically how to get involved in support of the Bundy family and the Bundy Ranch, go to www.cspoa.org. CSPOA.org. Richard, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
This is the most crucial time in American history since the Civil War. Freedom is just as vital today as it was then or in 1776. If we don't stand now, America dies. We're asking each of you to do something. Stand for freedom, stand with us, stand with the Bundys, and hold your title of liberty, the Constitution, high, and never let anybody take it away from you. Join us in this holy cause of liberty, and America will live.
Sheriff Richard Mack, www.cspoa.org. God bless you, Richard. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Brent. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.